on radio, and I've got Astro Dave all the way over there in New South Wales and out of the floods here on the air. G'day, Dave. Welcome to Noongar Radio again.
Hey, good morning, Mark. We're just drying out over here. We're in a safe area, luckily. I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Excellent. Glad to hear that. Okay. A few questions for you. The Russian, I guess cooperation with the International Space Station is being threatened to cease, and they threaten also that it may crash. Got any words on that?
Yeah, this is a little bit of hype. We've got to be careful with this because there's a very tenuous situation going on with Russia, of course, and what's going on with the space program? It's the head of the Russian space program has come out and said that if you continue with your sanctions on our country, you're going to interfere with our part of the agreement to run the space station. And Russia do. They're a partner in the space station up there, Mark, and their job is to actually steer it. Now, you've got to move that space station two or three times every year because the orbit does decay and it gets a little bit too low down. Now, you get too low down, you're going to enter the Earth's atmosphere and it's going to start to burn up. They don't want that. So he's saying that if you continue your sanctions on our country, which is self-imposed, by the way, it's their own fault, if you do that, we may not be able to steer this thing. Now, you don't want that coming down on one of your parent companies like America or Britain or anything, do you? What a scare tactic this is. Now, Elon Musk has come up and said, look, you don't have to worry because we can steer that for you. We can do that. He's got a little spacecraft that he can send up there and steer it just as well as the Russian vehicle. So there's no real problem with that. There's no fear involved. It won't come down. And again, I think a little bit of scaremongering on the Russians' part with that one, Mark.
Yeah, good. I'm glad somebody else agrees with me on that because I thought it was scare tactics as well. Okay, I have another question for you. Lots of progress going on with the moon and people trying to claim the moon, exploration-wise, and as a jumping-off point for the rest of the solar system. And it's got a lot of resources on it, and it's a serious issue. What's going on with whoever controls the moon? Looks like they control the solar system.
They can, yeah, because it's a gateway to the rest of the solar system. Now, wouldn't you know that 60 years after Apollo 11, there's a brand new space race on. Now, that space race is going to be twofold. One, to go to the moon and put a base on there and eventually use it for mining and space tourism, and also to Mars. There's a big race now. We're looking at the Chinese and the Russians maybe teaming up to do that. But China is the worry because they've got a spacecraft up there now on the other side of the moon, and they're very, very interested in developing the moon and its resources. There are a lot of resources up there that we didn't know about. The mineralogy that we can use, there's an isotope called helium-3, which is a power source. But more than that, there's a lot of water in the Aitken Basin and the Shackleton Crater, which is down in the South Pole of the moon. And there's nothing stopping them from claiming that as their own. Now, that's a base area that we need. Anyone going there to put a base on the moon or to make it habitable in any way, shape or form is going to need water. And there are reservoirs of frozen ice there. The fear we've got is that after 60 years of Apollo, there is no clear space law. Mark, there's nothing stopping anyone from going up there and claiming ownership of any part of the moon they want to. And that's a bit of a danger. And what we're trying to do now, they're trying to enact space law that's part of the United Nations Charter. It hasn't been fully completed yet. They're still working on it. But I would suggest that they get their proverbial out and get this thing up and running quick because you've got China, India, Russia, you've got Japanese as well, and a whole bunch of private consortium that want to go to the moon and do the same sort of thing. So what we've got to do is try and get some sort of a law here or a set of laws that govern who can do what and who can own what. At the moment, there's nothing, and that's the worry we've got.
Well, it's very...
And the moon is a gateway.
It's very, very comparable to the way they set up the laws of the sea and the laws of Antarctica. The way that they do things, it's all about who agrees. And if they don't agree and they don't cooperate, there's really not a lot that anyone else can do.
No, you're right there, and this is important to remember. But there's enough there for everybody. The moon is not a small little thing. It's a big thing. There's a lot going for it. There's a lot of resources up there. And it can be equally shared around. But as I say, greed takes over where common sense leaves off sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
And we've got to make sure that we can have a set of rules in place, a universal set of rules that puts through the United Nations. But from what we're seeing with the United Nations recently, no one's really satisfied that that's going to happen very quickly. We'll see how it all rolls out.
Mm.
So there you go. You can go up there and claim the moon if you want to, Mark, and call it your own.
Oh, excellent. I always thought I could do that. Okay. Well, thanks a lot for talking to us this morning. Dave, we really appreciate your time.
Good to be with you again, Mark. Thank you.